A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chulin Kuf Lamed Ches. Chulin 138b. Pagination is 276. We'll start after the first few lines at the start of the new perek, the final perek of the Masechta, Shiluach HaKain, or Shiluach HaKan as it's commonly pronounced. The mitzvah to send away the mother bird when one is taking the children or the eggs. Now, there are two sweeping approaches, two different approaches to understanding this mitzvah. And it's also a great forum to understand what it means whenever we say we're trying to understand a mitzvah. We're not explaining why Hashem gave it. That's not our business. We're trying to learn what lessons are to be gleaned from the themes of the mitzvah. So one approach in Tamei HaMitzvahs is that it's an expression of Rachmanus. It's an expression of mercy, not to destroy the family at once, or another similar nuance in this approach, the approach of Reb Shamshon Feil Hirsch, not to take advantage of the mother's caring for the young. And as you're trying to take the children, the mother keeps coming back to protect them, and you take advantage of those motherly instincts and grab her too. And she should not be deprived of her freedom because of her very praiseworthy motherly instincts. In nature, we respect that. That's a good thing, an inclination. So it's an expression of Rachmanus, but it's also to say that in tefillah. The Mishnah in Brachas tells us that if a person would say that, Meshatkino, so you silence him, that's the wrong way to present in prayer. Just as you had mercy on the mother bird, so you should have mercy on us. You're not allowed to do that. Because in prayer, that's codifying something. Whereas all of our other discussions are ethical teachings, nuances, subject to other considerations. As we find, Tamei HaMitzvahs don't hold true through halacha. A person has to follow halacha. They can't say, well, in Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reason was mercy, so therefore I'm going to be merciful if the halacha doesn't dictate a specific case. In accordance with that reasoning, we still have to follow halacha. And therefore, in prayer, it's not appropriate. Einon elo gezeros, they are rules from Hashem, and we approach them with that degree of reverence. That also explains why there's reluctance, one explanation, to recite the prayer for the state of Israel in some congregations, the objection being the words, Reshis Tzemichas Geulasenu. It's the beginning of the sprouting forth of our redemption, meaning moving towards Mashiach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash in its proper time. And one would think that the authors, you know, really serviced the Jewish people well. They didn't make any commitments of when that would happen. Reishis, it's the beginning, Tzemichas, of the sprouting forth of Geulasenu, of our redemption. It sounds pretty tame and safe, but to codify anything in prayer when we're not prophets, we don't know. God protect us, but we don't know exactly what the direction is. We hope, if it would be said as a tefillah, Shetihiyeh Reishis Tzemichas Geulasenu, may it be the beginning of the sprouting forth of our redemption. That, I believe, would be totally in sync with our tradition of what prayer is. The other approach to Shiluach HaKan is the approach of the Zohar, that as the bird squawks because of its being separated from its young, there's a yearning to connect, and Hashem likewise is activated, if you will, it's part of a prayer experience that Hashem also yearns to be connected with Hashem's young, the Jewish people, and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that squawking is actually an expression of prayer, as we find in different applications, the crying of a child during the Mila, the call of the shofar, and the experience at that moment, the different moments that are ideal for mercy, for prayer, and that would explain why some people actually run after the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, even though if it was just an act of mercy, it's more merciful to just let them be. But if it's to activate something special in creation, then we appreciate better why the mitzvah is yearned for. The Mishnah states, Shiluach HaKein Noeg Ba'aretz Uvuchutza La'aretz. This mitzvah applies in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael, b'fnei abayis v'shalo b'fnei abayis, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash and not in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, b'chulin. It applies in non-sacred birds, avalo b'mukdashim, but not by sacred birds designated for the Beis HaMikdash. And in the next session, we will try to explore what a case of mukdashin would be and why it's excluded. The Mishnah continues. Chomer b'kisei adam ishiluach hakein. We find a stringency, a more global application and obligation by covering the blood of an animal that was slaughtered than we find by sending away the mother bird. Shebekisei adam noeg b'chayo uva'of. Because by kisei hadam, covering the blood, it applies even by certain animals, not just by birds. Uve mizuman, uve she'en mizuman. It applies whether it's your controlled supply or you caught it. Uve shiluach hakein, eina noeg ela ba'of. It only applies by a bird, sending away the mother bird. Ve'ena noeg ela b'she'en mizuman, and it only applies when it's not controlled, owned by you, controlled by you. That's the famous question. If a person has birds that lay eggs in his yard, can you do shiluach hakan on that? Or does your yard simply acquire it? What circumstances would be considered? Let's skip the next phrase and go straight to the beginning of the next line. Of tamei potom milishaleach. If the bird is a non-kosher bird, it's not included in this mitzvah. And then the Mishnah explores things that they were very familiar and are surprising to many people who aren't familiar with birds. Of tamei rovitz al beitzei of tahar. What happens if you have a non-kosher bird that's on birds that are on eggs of a kosher bird? And this interchange between birds, and in the case of the Mishnah, between non-kosher and kosher, is well known in bird studies, but surprises many people. V'toha rovitz al beitzei of tamei, or you have a kosher bird that's crouching, that's on the eggs of a non-kosher bird. Pato min l'shaleach. These cases are absolved of this mitzvah. It has to be a case of the kosher bird on the kosher bird on kosher eggs. Rashi points out the Gemara's inference that if a kosher bird was on a different kosher bird's eggs, that would appear from the inference of our Mishnah to be obligated in this mitzvah. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.